It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. And now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Good evening, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KABC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, and today I am here not to be the managing partner of your life, but to step aside.
Alan, I think it's time to step aside.
Thank you. Finally. What are those bells going off?
So sorry.
You are a popular guy.
No.
That's Al Key David, ladies and gentlemen. He is often been a host, a guest, on Gervie's Law. Now he is the host. I am turning it over to Lauren Savon. I'm out of town, so you don't know that I'm here, even though we got everyone looking at me. But I'm out of town, so I don't have to work this gig. Al Key, it's all you.
Thanks, Alan. That was Alan Gervie. Is that Steve Wynn that's on your one of your partners?
Steve Wynn, actually, I wish it were, but we have the Asian Wynn.
Oh, okay.
It's not right, Steve. Okay, he's from Vietnam.
Vietnam.
Yes.
All right. Very, very. They are actually one of the great nations challenging the status quo of the CCP, right?
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's a lot of collaboration going on in the South Pacific now between nations that previously would never look at each other. Now they are truly collaborating and it's fascinating change of powers.
Alky, you know something about everything. What is it? You are a Renaissance man.
No.
You know everything. Lauren, say something to Alky and watch. He will have a whole big dissertation on it.
What's the fastest land animal?
Cheetah.
Yeah. Good. Fastest sea creature.
Fastest sea creature? Well, above or below?
Below.
Fastest sea creature below would probably be, it'll be an eel.
I stumped him already.
No, it'll be
right
eel.
Out of the
it'll,
gate.
Probably moray eel is probably the fastest creature under the water.
I believe it's a sailfish, but I'm not an expert.
No, not a chance.
Comes up when you Google.
Not a chance.
Sailfish or a black marlin?
No, you need to look at what a moray eel looks like.
This is Gervie's Law. Never before have we been talking about black marlins and sealfish.
You never know what you're going to get on this show.
This is a legal show with a lot of illegal behavior.
The moray eel can fire itself out of its cave. It's something extraordinary, like 25 knots underwater. It's crazy how quick they are.
I'm sure they're quick. There are a lot of quick sea creatures.
Unbelievable, the trivial information you have in your head.
I know.
Well, no, I live in Malibu. I live on the water.
I've heard.
It's like living in the wild.
Isn't your home for sale?
If somebody pays the price, yeah.
What's the price?
$28.5
billion.
Million. I don't think there is a $28 billion.
Not yet.
That might be your next home.
Property
though.
In space. I'm actually developing a space hotel.
Of course, because what billionaire wants to stay on Earth? You all want to get off this planet.
No, it's getting everybody else off.
But you want to...
And that's, I think, the attempt that... I'm so sorry, Joey. Joey.
Yeah.
You know, Joey, I've purposefully relying completely on Lauren and what she knows about you, because I hazard a guess that you've had some trouble.
Yeah, I've,
you know, I don't know anything about you at all. Zero.
Yeah.
Other than that your parents were born in you were born in Pasadena and they're still there and you think it's a foreign country when you live in WeHo. Right?
I mean, depending on traffic, it could take a long time to get there.
It's very true. Yeah.
So other than that, what's your trouble, son?
Well, let me just introduce our guests, which you have so kindly already joined the conversation. Joey Ryan was a professional wrestler. I met him during one of your a show, basically.
Lucha Vavoom.
Lucha Vavoom. I did a story on you. Yeah, and that was really when you were up. You know, you were soaring star, and I have a great eye for talent, so I saw that early on. That was back in 2012, and we've remained friends since then. Yeah. But tell us what happened in June of 2020.
Okay. Well, in June of 2020. I guess I can maybe start a little bit earlier than that. And you know, I was married. I went through a separation and a divorce, and I kind of.
How old are you?
I'm 41.
Okay.
So I went through a separation and divorce, and instead of like grieving the divorce, I decided to like act out and just like sleep around and just, you know, use women and become basically a womanizer to hide my like depression and to mask my depression. And then in June 2020. There were several women who came out and said that, you know, I was harassing them sexually or assaulting them sexually. And it really, and I mean, there was no legal charges or anything. It was all just internet stuff, all just Twitter stuff. And it really like devastated me, like, because, you know, in my head, I'm like, wait a minute, like all this stuff, like all this stuff is consensual, like unless I'm crazy and I don't know what it, you know, I literally thought I was going mad because I was like, no, I remember this with you and I remember this with you. And it was all consensual. And so like for a while, like I was suicidal. I was really depressed, got down, got on antidepressants. And yeah, it just wasn't a fun time. It's still working on it.
And you're still paying a price, right? For these allegations that, again, there's been no legal charges against you. These were just allegations that.
Correct. It's so, you know.
So imagine if you had legal charges, right? And those same people making your accusations were now working with lawyers who are equally as mentally challenged, perhaps, or maybe they're just plain criminal and greedy and abusing a rather abusable system. Maybe, you know, is that coming?
You know, no, in fact, like, so. I don't think like legal charges are coming because
let's get it different. There's criminal charges and then there is Mickey Mouse civil court complaints that cause damage.
Nothing right. Coming my way of the sort. Because thankfully I'm like a text hoarder, so I don't delete any messages. So, you know, after a while I looked on my phone and I saw like all these text messages from these women who were saying these things about me. And like one of the women, like she actually sent me a text thanking me for getting her consent. Another woman from the day after until probably 4 months later was trying to see me again. And she was offering me threesomes with her friends and even her boyfriend. And, you know, and like there's all these different like – there's all these different holes in their stories. Like the stories weren't fake.
But so to be clear, besides these text messages even, did any of these women complain to you even verbally that they didn't appreciate what went on the night before or anything like that? Did you get any kind of feeling like, uh-oh, she's, you know, she's not happy or something went down that shouldn't have?
So one of the women asked to stop when we're in the middle of having sex. She said she wanted to stop, but then we stopped, right? So like, we, you know, I had consent until consent was taken away and then we didn't do anything. Hmm. But she didn't make it seem as if like she was.
I thought that was the dog.
I mean, you know,
it was
Alfie. It's unbelievable, isn't it? It's unbelievable. The nuance of this nonsense, there are the profound differences between relations that, in time, can become anything you want to become if you take a point of view.
Right.
And what I mean by that is that one of the things that I think Alan and Lauren, you probably discovered that witness testimony these days is not relied on very much. You know, witness testimony is completely, you know, subjective, right?
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah.
Right.
It's.
But
well, sometimes because these cases are a lot of he said she said. So how do you prove something that?
But let's be really clear. These cases we're talking about civil cases, mm-hmm. which in America, and I compare this to the UK legal system, right, is very very different. The gaping holes in these civil courts that are open for abuse are enormous and are rife with theater and fakery that is really not based on justice or truth, right? that is how that this marketplace of law has evolved in California. And I speak from a personal point of view that has experienced at first hand the skullduggery of this system and how it can be abused and how unconscionable practitioners of what I call warlord capitalism or criminality will just walk on, will destroy other people's livelihoods, other people's reputations, other people's whatever, purely for their own personal financial gain, regardless of the consequences. You know, that exists very strongly in this legal system, not in the culture, in the system.
See, I think we should talk about this because I think the culture is almost worse than the system. But you have a very unique experience that I really think that we should delve into for people that don't know your story, because yours is a lot different from Joey's. And
not really.
I think they,
identical. They're almost identical. They just have different scales of different scales of color.
Well, that's a great cliffhanger. We got to take a break, but we want to hear a little bit about Alki's story, and maybe, you know, you guys can compare your stories. Lauren, you have a story.
You have a story.
And you know what? I think it's a great opportunity for me to talk to somebody, because it's been a long time since I've talked to a woman about this sort of thing other than my good woman.
And you're gonna hear it all after the break. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, you're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. We have Lauren Savon, Alki David, and Joey Ryan. This is important stuff. Lauren,
what's your wrestling name, Joey? It's
Joey Ryan.
Oh.
Yeah,
that's yeah. very exotic.
It's my first and middle name. Didn't get too creative with it.
It's Joey Ryan.
There you go.
Yeah, you got it. You got it down.
Easy to yell.
I did want to mention something that we talked about in the
who did it, Joey Ryan?
Who did what?
Anything?
Oh, no. I want to mention it because we talked about witnesses and so when so there was no charges against me. There was no police investigation. The company that I worked for, they fired me via email.
Any legal investigation? Any lawyers turn up?
Nothing. Okay. So the company that I was working for fired me via email 2 days later, which breaches my contract with them. I think they thought maybe there would be legal charges, and there wasn't. Mm-hmm. So I do have a lawsuit against them for a wrongful termination because in my contract it guarantees an investigation period, which I wasn't granted. And also – all the stuff that happened to me happened before I signed a contract with them, and you can't breach a contract before you sign a contract. But also I was like, okay, if there's not going to be an investigation, then the narrative is going to be that I assaulted all these people. And so I decided to get a lawyer myself. And well, initially I have a friend who's a criminal attorney, and he said, is there anything that, you know, you need my help for? And I said, there's no charges. No one's going to the police. And then I showed him the text messages I had, and he said, you might want to look into a defamation attorney because, you know, these are very damning text messages for these accusations. They contradict a lot of the stories that are being told. And so I went through, you know, I hired a lawyer. I filed lawsuits against, and I didn't file lawsuits against 12 people or a dozen people that accused me. It was just, like I said, like there was 12 or so accusations, maybe a little bit more. But there only four of those had any kind of physical intimacy, and only two of those were sexual intercourse. And some people were just like, oh, he flirted with me, so he must have wanted to do this to me too. And then the way mob mentality works is like, okay, there's another one. Like you were sexually assaulted by him, but like it's somebody I never touched.
But Joey, what were the accusations that it was that you did not get consent? What were they accusing you of?
So two people used the word sexual assault, but they didn't get into details. They just said, we were, you know, in this hotel room together and he sexually assaulted me. They didn't get to details.
I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but wouldn't that mean rape?
That's what you would assume. So that's why I hired a defamation attorney, because I didn't want the narrative to be that I got accused and I didn't do anything about it.
Right.
And then so I went through this whole legal process and actually found out, or you know, one of the accusers said that I blocked the doorway so that she couldn't get out. But then there was a witness that walked in on us, and that witness was willing to testify that what they saw was consensual, and that the girl made no attempt to leave or ask for help or anything. And when I got to the California court system, I was told that the evidence doesn't matter, the witness doesn't matter, because I can't prove that she knowingly made a false statement, which is required for defamation. So even if I have evidence that shows that she lied,
Joey, defamation is in America is really hard anyway. It doesn't matter about Joey and this girl. That's to even contemplate the idea of a defamation lawsuit is such a shot in the dark.
Yeah, my attorney told me that when we filed them. He said it's hard. Even though there was evidence, even though there was a witness, I was told that we can't prove that she knowingly made a false statement. We can't prove that what she says she doesn't believe.
So democracy is really being challenged now in media, in the world of media is being challenged heavily. And that boils down to sort of very similar principles of truth versus truth, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's the world that we live in right now, where you can't argue with quote unquote someone's truth, right? If that's what they say happened and that's what they believe, then you're arguing with their truth, which is a really sticky situation.
And here's the irony is that what you believe can change.
Yes, correct.
You know, and it can change and it can be controlled by professionals.
Absolutely. But you know, Algy, and this is the difference I see between the two of you, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here. Joey was a wrestler. He had started to make a name for himself. And so, you know, you got divorced, you were seeing a lot of women, but you weren't anyone's boss. And in your words, you couldn't help anyone's career from the standpoint where you are, right?
Right. I was running a show in Los Angeles, specific to Los Angeles, but that was the only, there's thousands of wrestling shows,
sure.
And there's contracted companies. There's WWE, Impact Wrestling, AEW.
So Lauren, anybody who's a fan of wrestling mm-hmm. or connected with wrestlers and in that world is going to look at Joe and think, well, he's a successful guy. He's a mover and shaker. Things are happening for him. So, of course, he's a target for whatever level of targeting. There is an assassin for everybody in this game. Is my point.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, you know, when you're in a position of power, you know, for example, if you're someone's employer or if you could make or break someone's career, I think in those cases, perhaps consent can be sticky because someone doesn't want to piss off their boss. Someone doesn't, you know, someone wants to excel at their job or they want to get the job or whatever it is. So in those situations, you know, you do kind of have to look at the balance of power.
And also, the workplace,
sure,
and also the
culture,
the cultural values, absolutely, the cultural values of that time, right?
I mean, I have zero employees, so, and it's you know, I'm sure we all know who Vince McMahon is, and even he has people that he doesn't like and hates, and they still get work wrestling other places. And you know, Vince McMahon is obviously like the head of the industry, and there's people that he doesn't employ for his company and has blacklisted them from his company, but they still get work other places. So it's not as though, you know, wrestling is so like there's work everywhere.
It's not about the wrestling is what you're saying. Yeah. This is about reputation.
One of my accusers who was claiming at the time that she was so bereft from having been fired and whatever it was that she was complaining about, but she was so emotionally overwhelmed, was at the time actually wrestling at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, wow.
And that all came out. So that was the lady, Elizabeth Taylor, represented by Lisa Bloom, where the jury, despite the environment of what it was, which was a full-on Me Too movement at the time, Despite all of that, the jury still believed that there was a fraud going on, and the case was dismissed 8-4 in my favor. And I was representing myself in that time. So that was the tip of the.
Right. So that was my next question, because when someone came forward accusing you, did all of a sudden other people come out of the woodwork because they saw you?
Look, the way this happened, the way the story happened is that I separated also, oddly enough, from my wife at the time, and I was hit on by a girl who I ended up having an affair with, who I then I didn't have an affair actually. I was separated. I wasn't having an affair with anybody. I was separated from my wife at the time. So, so she started dating a guy that I had fired and had sued for stealing, and then she ended up accusing me of rape in a private settlement, completely private, right? And I settled that because I was in the throes of divorce and in the throes of litigation. It was a hard time for me and then to have accusations on top that were lies, complete lies created to, let me finish the story. So this agreement, the sealed agreement, was leaked to this Elizabeth Taylor girl and this Chastity Jones, who were employees at the time. They were hired as salespeople. They were okay. They weren't particularly great at it, but they were committed workers like everybody else. It was a good team, and then all of a sudden, it went from being a very, very secure, happy environment to being a sort of rife with accusations from this group of people that had been let go. They'd been let go because they hadn't performed. They hadn't done a good job, and it spilled over from this very private agreement that we had had. We'd had this very private agreement because I said, you know what? She accuses me of this. I was used to lawyers embellishing their complaints with unbelievable stuff. Like when I separated from my wife, all of a sudden I'm a child abuser. I'm a this, I'm a that. Anything that can color the court's opinion in these courtrooms, the lawyers will just do. They'll call you a rapist, a killer, a child abuser, or whatever, and just completely make it up, put it in there in the hope that that shifts something. That's not a way to litigate. I mean, I suppose in some instances you have to have that kind of spectrum of truth.
Yeah. Right?
You have to.
Well, yeah, in many cases you do. Absolutely.
But it's easy to abuse that. It's easy to abuse that very that's the principle of law that has been completely obliterated, if it ever existed.
And I think that's why I'm here. Because, I am one of the, women that came out in the Me Too movement, but I do worry about the pendulum that has swung too far. So in the next break,
I think it's actually gone the other, and we can break that down because I think there's a big change. There's a big sea change in that around the world.
I agree. Let's talk about it when we come back. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We'll be back.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You know what's so fascinating? Sitting here as a lawyer, a real live lawyer, that's me, Alan Gervie, listening to lay people talking about the law and doing such an incredible job of understanding what lawyers are about. Slime buckets.
You don't want to step in.
No, listen, there are some very fine lawyers and human beings. Fine, there are some people with great intentions. Amazing intentions who evolve law to be
listen Lawyers get into the gig because they have egos, and then it just gets worse. Every day of my life, I'm listening to lies from other lawyers. I can't stand it. You just sit there and people, they don't care. They sell their soul to bill a client, and it's wrong.
Wow.
I actually really liked my defamation attorney, but he was not cheap.
Well, let me. Yes.
He's in your corner as well. Yeah, right?
He's also in my corner. Right.
That's the fact. We all like our lawyers. My clients love me every day. They love me. I'm saying it's the other lawyers. It's not about your lawyer who's protecting your rights. It's not about me.
Well, sometimes, very often, it is. I mean, Lisa Bloom, for example, has been sued countless of times by her clients, and particularly recently. The challenged, physically challenged children that sued her for stealing their money. I mean, you know, these lawyers that steal
clients.
Well,
let's not forget she also tried to represent Weinstein early on when she thought he was innocent.
You have a Weinstein story.
Yeah, I mean, I'm one of the women that came out with a story against him and didn't file any charges. And
he told me you're the potted plant.
I'm the
lady.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that is who I am now.
Alan,
what does that mean?
Alan, you tell the story, Greg.
I was not there. All I know is that apparently there was a pot that needed watering and
it didn't get water. I'll put it that way.
Oh, wow. There's some insight.
Yeah. It was unfortunate.
But they were trying to water.
What kind of plant was it?
I don't know. It was a dark hallway.
I wanted to know
where. Maybe a ficus? I don't know.
So it was dark.
Yeah, it was a dark, empty kitchen, like a hallway in between the kitchen.
No, the plant was dark.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Did you see the person who actually was doing that?
Harvey?
You said it was a dark. How do you know it was Harvey?
Because it was Harvey that dragged me down the stairs. I mean, are you asking if
this is like an episode right out of Ironside right now. How did you know if it was dark?
You just said, Lauren, that it was a dark kitchen.
You said it was a dark
kitchen.
No, I said it.
How do you know it wasn't one of the chefs?
Yeah, you see where this is going?
Yeah.
It was Harvey? He took you down there?
I am.
Harvey's not.
Yes.
He's hard to miss.
I could tell by his voice and I could tell by his girth.
His girth? What about anything else that looked familiar?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't.
Let me ask you, Lauren.
What?
What's happened to Harvey Weinstein, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in the entertainment business a long time, right? So, of course, you hear the stories too, right?
Yeah.
Do you think, I don't know, and I'm asking you this because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who know him. I never knew Harvey, so I never had, you know, I met him once, twice passing.
Same, once.
Right, so... Do you believe that what's happened to him over time, the way it's happened to him, is deserved?
Yes. In his case, absolutely deserved.
Okay.
Absolutely
deserved. Okay.
And this is coming from someone who's just, you know, met now over 100 women who have very, very similar stories. You know, some were traumatized worse than others. Some, you know, lost their careers, left acting, like all these things that were fallout from him were blacklisted all over the, you know, I was lucky in the sense that I'm not an actress. I wasn't trying to get a job from him. I mean, he was a stranger that I met in a restaurant. It was just by chance that I ran into him, not because I had a meeting with him or because I was trying to get anything. Yeah.
Really?
So after that night or during that night, I thought to myself, if this happened to me, just think how many other women he does
this to.
Completely
randomly? You didn't know each other?
Completely randomly. Walked up to me in a restaurant. I just happened to be sitting at a table where he knew someone, and that's how it all started. So I wasn't in Hollywood. I was living in New York City. I was a local reporter.
That's pretty messed up.
So when you see something like that happen,
Lauren, how much time elapsed between when he met you and when you were in the kitchen?
An hour.
That's
an hour and a half. Yeah, he chatted me up for like 45 hour.
Wow.
And very, very warm, very kind, no red flags, like very complimentary about, you know, oh, you're a news reporter and I love the news. We both love history and we're talking about presidential history and, you know, really a great conversation. One of those conversations where you're like, wow, I really held my own with Harvey Weinstein. And, you know, you're feeling good about yourself. And then cut to, you're stuck in a kitchen and you're trying to get out. And you're like, oh, how could I be so stupid?
But like, why did I think? An hour later? How is that possible?
Yeah, it was an hour
later. That guy must have balls.
Well, he's done this before. He's a charmer and he'll say, you know, he's like, oh, you've never been to this restaurant? I own this restaurant. You have to see the rest, you know, you have to see the downstairs kitchen. You have to see the club we're building. You have to see this. And he acts like he's giving you a tour until you get down there and you realize you're alone in
a dark kitchen. Let me ask Alki, because it's an interesting point you bring in. I just, You're in a – I'm not in that kind of position. You're in that kind of position. You've got a hell of a lot of money.
Listen,
billions.
Time out. Hold on a second. I'm in that kind of position. We're talking about very, very normal sort of human relations that go on that are then exacerbated in the forum.
But I'm saying, yeah. Do you ever feel like you can use your money and your power like Harvey? I mean – how does a guy do that? I can't do that.
Listen,
no girl is good at
it. But Alan, the problem was not that he did it. The problem was that I said I was not interested and I said no multiple times and he continued.
Right.
That's
right.
The problem. If I just went down there and I was interested in him, then there wouldn't be an
That's
issue.
That's not the point.
Right.
I'm saying
right.
that
exactly.
which guy,
exactly.
what guy would just, when someone says
but
I'm not interested.
You'd be surprised. You would be surprised.
Look, somebody wielding power, as you say, right? Make you know, yeah. Obviously, will because everybody wields power in one way or another.
Yeah,
in really every human being at every part of society, we all wield or we're wielded on. It's the yin and yang of relationships most often, right? This power struggle, whatever that relationship is. So,
I mean, Joey and I discussed this too because he, you know, even though he might not be the boss of a company or in control of everyone's career,
he's a colorful target. What are you talking about? He's a colorful
right,
target.
Right, but he also
it doesn't matter. You don't need
you
to
can
be a boss.
That.
No, no, no.
You
but what I'm saying
he's
is
a good-looking guy.
Yeah,
he is a good-looking guy.
He's a wrestler, a profession,
right?
And so he's a target because if somebody's going to abuse legal law, he's perfect.
But you even went back. Because you've done some work on yourself since.
Yeah.
And you tried to think to yourself, did I manipulate anyone?
Let me ask you a pointed question,
okay.
Right? Do you think that you had it coming to you?
You know what? That gets a little murky, and that goes into your question, too. You know, I recognize...
And I'm not talking about them.
So
I'm not talking about the relationships
yeah.
that are skewed.
Yeah.
I'm talking about your karma. Or your...
Yes.
I definitely
I've never forced myself on anybody. I've never acted outside of consent. I've never threatened anybody. I've never been violent with anybody. I still was not very respectful to women. You know, I would lie to them. I would use them. I would, you know, I would make them think we were going to start like a relationship just, you know, and I recognized that behavior and this was a big wake up call for that. And I don't want to like, you know, these women, I don't think they made these accusations because they were having a bad day. Like, I obviously rubbed them the wrong way. And, you know, I wanted to recognize that. And so I have done a lot of work. And a lot of people think I don't show remorse for, like, how I treated them. But, you know, I entered myself into SLAA, which is Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, to figure out, like, why I needed the validation and why I needed – and it turns out that's essentially my addiction is, like, I meet somebody, I assign them magical qualities, I think they're going to fix all my problems, and, you know, I, like, idealize them.
Time. This is – you know why it's – you know why it's – you know why it's
– why?
Because every man goes through ladies and gentlemen. This is not – this is 101 being a human being.
Okay, start that over again without the letter.
Well, you just beep it out. Just f-ing beep it out. Just beep it out.
Okay.
No, Al, I think you are absolutely right on some level. And I think.
Not some level,
no.
Darling. Not some level. And I can say
but there's a
words
spectrum.
Like darling. And I can say things like, oi, you beep. Right, did I do it for you? There we are. Thank you. You're welcome.
But Alki, don't you think that there's a spectrum?
No, I don't. I don't. And you know what? And here, and you just put the kibosh on freedom of speech.
No.
Yes, you did. And let me explain to you why. Because principally, human beings are what they are. And you know what you are. In your heart, you know what you are. You know what motivates you. You know what lies and deceit run in your heart, in your life. You know those times. Everyone has darkness in their life, light and darkness. That's how we exist. We exist in the yin and the yang. We exist in the agony and the ecstasy. This is how we exist as creatures, right? This is what makes up our spectrum of vision, right? So for a culture that is based on the notion, on the principle, so strongly built on these beautiful principles of freedom of speech. And that is what attracts everybody to America, right? What has happened is I'm going to break it down right now. What's happened in media in the last 20 years is a complete power shift and complete power change, including the studio right here, right, where it's really become so politicized and moved into political parties outside of the United States. And this has been going on for a very, very long time. And culturally, that is the – your argument now is the argument that has been so deftly – has so deftly covered so many principles of freedom of press, freedom of speech, have been so thwarted by this fake news blanket. It's like being given the keys to the Ferrari. America was a Ferrari of freedom of speech, and the keys were handed over. Don't cut me off here.
No, I'm gonna take you to task on that point.
We're gonna take after the break. We will take a task.
I know when it was changed.
We're gonna stop talking Ferraris for a minute. We appreciate everyone's honesty. We're gonna be right back.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law. Turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. We don't have a lot of time, but this is something else. This show, we got three really smart people here talking honestly, and I want to hear what they have to say for the last 12 minutes to conclude. I know, Alki, you had something to say before the break, and we had to cut you
off.
Have you ever been cut off before?
No, I will completely ignore that that happened. It didn't happen.
No. Okay, go for it. I like that attitude. Right.
He just kept talking during the break.
Exactly.
So, no, listen, in 2015, a very fundamental law was changed here in America. It was a law at the FCC which allowed foreign ownership of broadcast stations, including Comcast Ventures, which owns 100 major American media properties, is primarily owned and operated by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, today in America. And everybody's mind is influenced from COVID to whatever scamdemic the media want to perpetrate in order to
you think COVID is
I think COVID, of course COVID exists. Of course COVID is an illness. Of course it does. I mean, it has yet to be isolated as a virus. It's still magically has yet to be isolated by anybody, but it certainly does exist, or at least it shows up on the fake PCR testing equipment made in China.
I feel like we're getting off track, but okay.
That's a whole other show. But there's a very famous lawsuit going on right now by a guy called Rainer Fulmich, a former German prosecutor who is suing Kuhnager, Pfizer, Volkswagen, and of course Deutsche Bank for perpetrating the PCR scamdemic. Did you know that?
It's
a very famous lawsuit. His name is Rainer Fulmich. You can look him up. He's done a worldwide lawsuit against these companies.
This is a whole other show.
Let's get this one wrapped up.
Yeah. Joey Ryan.
Yeah, I want you to make your point because let me actually make my point, and then it would be great if you could react to it. My issue here is I feel a sense of guilt sometimes, because as much as I think that the Me Too movement has allowed women to find their voices, has allowed women to stand up in places of work, in places where they were oppressed and abused for a long, long time. And so my problem with it is that there are innocent people.
Boadicea, Queen Victoria. The list is endless. You know, Joan of Arc.
The list isn't
endless.
Women have really only been in the workplace in the last 50 years, Alki. And you have to understand, you're a boss, and you can't understand, especially you probably because you know because of where you come from and your education and your wealth, and you can't understand what it's like to have a job, want to keep a job, and to not be able to say no to someone who's your boss or to someone who you work under.
I cannot believe the nonsense that just came out of your mouth.
How is it nonsense?
You think that I don't suffer? You think that I don't have pain? I never said you didn't.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah, you did. You can't possibly have the experiences that I have, is what you said.
I'm saying that specific.
That's what you said.
Do you have that specific experience?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a man attempt to rape me when I was a child. Sure.
See? Okay.
Sure.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh. But you immediately assume that I am this. Or
you're
I'm
right.
That.
I made the wrong assumption.
Exactly.
Okay. So in that situation.
I'm Adam, like every other person listening in this room, lives the experience of life. And that is filled with every spectrum of experience you can imagine.
So then how can you say it's have that feeling that you can't say no and that there's no way out.
I didn't say that. You said that. No. I didn't say that at all.
I try not to use that word, and I apologize.
It's contagious.
I know.
I want to hear from Joey. I didn't say that at all.
You assumed that.
You know what?
You assumed. Yeah. Could you play that back? Did you hear me actually say those words?
Save it for another show.
Yeah,
I didn't. What did I say?
My point is, I didn't realize you had that same experience. And it's that experience that I think is the good positive change from the Me Too movement. That's what I think we both agree on here. The bad of it
is that innocent people... The Alky Dave got touched is good? What is that?
You know,
is that now...
Let me just say this. The point that both of you are making is we really don't know.
Let me give some color. I was walking in London when I was 14 years old and I was stopped by a guy who asked me to test underwear for children's clothing. And he touched my bum. Okay? And that freaked me out. And I ran away. And that was my experience.
Okay.
And one other time, some guy grabbed my... on a motorbike.
Right.
That was another experience. Gay men have hit on me all my life.
Yeah, men
have
hit on me all my life.
As most gay men hit on other men all their lives.
You know what? We can agree that we don't know what happens in a person's life.
Absolutely.
And maybe we shouldn't judge a person, male or female, because we don't know what's going on in their life now or what went on in their life before. Joey has done a lot of work on himself. And I want to hear right now, because I admire this, we all come to life with our experiences. He has worked on things. Where do you come out?
Well, it would be easy for me to get better about it. Obviously, I can't get work in my industry at all. You know, like I've been blacklisted, and you know, it'd be easy for me to have that attitude. Well, I was just acting like a normal man, and in a lot of ways, I feel like I was. But you know, like I grew up with like influences like Zach Morris on Saved by the Bell and Sam Malone on Cheers, where they, you know, they were manipulating women and they were making trophies out of women. And
by
like,
the way, just a little disclaimer here.
Yeah.
I was the lawyer on Saved by the Bell and did Zach Morris's contract.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Mark nice. Paul Gosselaar did all their contracts when they were minors.
But what
and you did what, a good deal for
I,
them.
What I, yeah. I went
was
to all
package.
The tapings,
right.
And
like
I agree with you.
Like,
when I look back and I'm thinking, what was Peter Engel, who's the executive producer, thinking when we were doing that show? Because it was totally abusive and it was inappropriate.
Right, and that was my influence. And I started making women accomplishments and trophies. And it would be like, you know, I said it would be easy for me to get bitter about it. But rather than resist this change, you know, I'm leaning into it and I'm saying, okay, if my behavior is a problem with the modern woman, then I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live bitter. I don't want to live upset. So, you know, a few things like the SLAA program that I'm in now, you know, is really helping me identify what my triggers are and why I think of women the way I do and what is ingrained in me. And also, you know, there's a someone in the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Her name is Molly Holly. Her real name's Nora. She reached out to me and she was just an acquaintance and she was just like, hey, I see what you're going through and I want to connect you with a church in your area, you know, that, you know, that will be spiritual, you know, spiritual blessing to you. And I started going back to church. I went to church as a child. I started going back to church, started looking at, my spiritualness and in reconnecting with God, and you know, and I just want to live a better version of myself. You know, I don't want to live in shadows. These accusations actually are a little bit liberating to me because I don't have to walk around
I think
in shadows.
Understanding ourselves. I mean, even the fact that Alky just said what he said about when he was a kid and these experiences come up, that is liberating. It's something that we all need to get in touch with and think about what our personal experiences have been and become a better person.
My problem is, what is the road to redemption for men like Alky and Joey? His career was destroyed by just online accusations. I mean, it didn't even make it to the legal level. And I worry that many women just want to see you disappear and go and be canceled and we never want to hear from you again. And that's not reality, and that's not a way forward. That's not
a
solution.
And by the way, Lauren, not everyone can fight back like Al.
Exactly.
I mean, he's fought back.
Exactly.
Not only is it unbelievably expensive to go all the way to the Supreme Court, which is where I'm going to take this matter if I need to. And I've been there twice before, once to the California Supreme Court and once to the Supreme Court in D.C. And the road to there is an expensive, but in this particular case, unbelievably challenging intellectually, emotionally. It reaches to every part of you. You challenge everything that you ever valued, everything you ever valued. You know, and my experience is that, you know, for example, you know, we were talking about the great women in history, right, and making those comparisons. Let me tell you something about the Muslim culture, which I've learned a lot about recently.
Very quickly, we got to close.
A profoundly male-dominant culture, we think. It's actually not. It's actually the reality of it is that you go into those homes. The woman is the matriarch of the family, and believe me, you do not want to be. You do not want to be in the wrath of a Muslim woman under the cultural values that are set.
Another show. Yeah. We got to do that show. Yeah. I want to thank everyone here, and Lauren, you can thank Joey. It's really been a pleasure. I really appreciate hearing it because all of us guys, I can't speak from a woman, but when I hear what you have to say, it hits home for a lot of us when we think about who we are, how we're trying to get better, and what our experiences have taught us.
Absolutely.
And I take my hat off.
And it is not by becoming hermaphrodites that we're going to solve the situation.
Well,
to go back to Lauren's point really quick,
you know, even if there's no redemption in the public, you know, like I've accepted that. You know, my redemption and my second chances come from God. And I know not everyone believes in God, but it's become very important to my life to know that I'm forgiven and that God loves me.
I'm really happy to hear that.
Alki, close it out.
Close it out?
30 seconds.
Goodbye.
This has been a great Gurvy's Law show. Tune in next week, and we're going to have just another enlightening, exciting conversation. Thanks to all of you. Thanks, Alki, Joey, Lauren.
Thanks, Alan.
Thanks, Alan. Alan, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice?